Good morning, Cornerstone. We serve a good and gracious King. Amen. All right, good. It's good to hear your voices this morning. It's good to be back. I want to thank you, first of all, that you gave me and my daughter and Melissa the freedom to head out, but me specifically because I usually am up here on a Sunday. So it was great to be in Indiana at the counseling conference. We were barraged with information and overloaded a little bit, but it was really, really good. So we are glad to be back. Corey is still recovering from her at-home virtual conference. She did the same conference from her living room, and it's just as overwhelming. But good stuff. So it was really good to be encouraged and reminded of all kinds of biblical truths that we have, truths about God. But right now, we have a lot of stuff going on today. We are excited to have Ari here from Chosen People Ministries. His table's in the back. We've got a love offering for him. If you want to give to his ministry, he's going to share in a little bit. And we've got a brunch afterwards. So thank you, all of you who brought food. But we're excited about what's going on today. But really, what we're doing right now, this song, Good and Gracious King, the first line is, I approach the throne of glory. What is that? We get to approach the throne of glory. And I want to just remind you of a scripture that tells us what we can do as we approach the throne of glory. Hebrews chapter 4. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who's been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Got a time of need? Need some mercy? Need some grace? Let's approach the throne together. Can we do that? Stand to your feet.
Approach the throne of glory. Nothing in my hands I bring, but the promise of acceptance from a good and gracious King.
He's good. He's gracious.
I will give to you my burden. You give to me your strength. Come and fill me with your spirit as I sing to you this praise.
You deserve
the greater glory. Overcome, I lift my voice to the King in need of nothing. Rejoice. You deserve the greater glory. Overcome with joy, I sing. By your love, I am accepted. 'Cause you're a good and gracious King. That you would see me as your child and as your friend, safe, secure in you forever. I pour out my praise again. You deserve the greater glory. Overcome, I lift my voice to the King. Empty-handed, I rejoice. You deserve the greater glory. Overcome with joy, I sing. By your love, I am accepted. 'Cause you're a good and gracious King.
holy. By your love I am accepted, 'cause you're a good and gracious King. You're a good and gracious King. You're a good and gracious King. Amen. Let's come before him. God, we've been singing to you already, and we are so grateful that you are a good and gracious King. Not only are you holy, because we're not, and we couldn't be in your presence if you weren't good and gracious, but you are good and gracious, and you've made it possible for us to be made holy through Jesus. So God, we come to you. We come before you boldly before the throne to receive mercy and grace. So God, and each person here, each person on live stream who's joined us today, God, we come to you, and we know that you're good. And as we come, we are changed, and we are refreshed, and you're blessed. We come with empty hands, and yet you receive us. You want us, and you love us. So, God, I pray that we would truly rejoice today in those truths. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we are, because Ari is here, he's part of Chosen People Ministries, and working with Jewish people who need Jesus, just like we need him. We're going to sing this song. It's been a while since we've sung it, so I sent the link out. Maybe you got the email. It's called Shema, and it's one of the songs that I've really enjoyed singing in the past. And what I realized, what I noticed about this song is that it blends, like I'll show you my Bible. You've seen one of these before, right? This is a treasure, right? This is a treasure. But there are some priceless gems hidden within this treasure. The whole thing is gold, but there are some super valuable gems within Scripture. And this song brings two of the most valuable gems of the Old Testament and New Testament together. And in the Old Testament, it's Deuteronomy 6:4. The Jewish people call it the Shema. And this is this gem that they quote and recite again and again, a reminder of who they are. And then one of the gems for us is the Lord's Prayer. And this song brings them together. So I'd like us to read this, the Shema first, and then the Lord's Prayer before we sing the song. Can we do that? Y'all can read. Let's read and mean it. All right? Let's join the Jewish people in reciting the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. This is the Shema. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Adonai Echad. Hero Israel, all your chosen ones, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Blessed be your name, glorious kingdom come. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Majesty too great to dwell in temples made of stone. You have chosen to make your glory known. Let your kingdom come.
Let your kingdom come.
Let your will be done.
Let your will be done.
Wind of heaven blow.
Wind of heaven blow.
Make your presence known.
Make your presence known.
Like an ocean wide.
Like an ocean wide.
Let your glory rise. God is one. Hear, O Israel, all your chosen ones, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Faithful Father, Spirit of the Lord, Messiah, Son, our God is one. Majesty, majesty too great to dwell in temples made of stone. You have chosen hearts of flesh to make your glory known. Let your kingdom come.
Let your kingdom come.
Let your will be done.
Let your will be done.
Wind of heaven blow.
Wind of heaven blow.
Make your presence known.
Make your presence known.
Like an ocean wide.
Like an ocean wide.
Let your glory rise.
Let your glory rise.
Cover all the earth. Hear, O Israel. Let your kingdom come.
Let your kingdom come.
Let your will be done.
Let your will be done.
Wind of heaven blow.
Wind of heaven blow.
Make your presence known.
Make your presence
like an ocean wide. Let your glory rise.
Let your glory rise.
Cover all the earth. Hear, O Israel. Our God is one. Our God is one. Our God is one. One. Hear, O Israel. The Lord our God is one God. The Lord is one. Amen. The Lord is one. Jewish, Gentile, there's one God. Pagan or believer, there's one God. He made us all. And we bow before him together in the name of Jesus. Amen. That's good to sing together, right? It's good to sing. It's good to bring some cultures together and celebrate God, right? All right. Okay. I think we're going to dismiss the kids down to Chillin' Church. Anybody third grade and below is welcome to head downstairs. And just take a breather for a second, and there's a question of the day. What is or was your favorite subject in school? Share that with somebody near you.
All right. Well, it's good to be together, guys, and live stream folks. It's good to have you with us too. I'm glad you can join us. We're gonna let the live stream people stay with us for the entire time, including Q&A at the end. But I'm gonna call Ari on up now. He's gonna share with us and bring us some encouragement from Scripture, from whatever you've got to share. Ari, bring it on. And as he shares, if questions come to your mind, jot them down in your notes, and we can go from there. All right.
Excellent.
Thank you, Ari.
Thank you. Thank you. Ooh, gosh. We're good. All right. Let me just lift this up here. All right. Shalom, everyone. So I have never heard that rendition that Shema, and then with the Lord's Prayer kind of combo. Where did you get that? Where did you get that?
Paul Wilbur.
That's from Paul Wilbur? Oh my gosh, I should know that. Right. Oh, that's fantastic. And you said that it was when did you hear it, and when did you first start?
Sure. 10 years ago.
About 10 years ago. That's fantastic. All right. Well, I want to just encourage. If there's someone that can be an usher back there. I really always like connecting and using whatever might happen to be, kind of like the church, Bible or pew Bible. And so if you don't mind, I know there's a half dozen or so back there. And so if anyone would want, I know we all have our phones with 1,000 Bibles on them or whatever. But if you would like to go ahead, because I'm going to be reading, and I want to encourage us to be just really in and touching, the scriptures. And so whether it's touching and scrolling with your phone, right, or getting in, we're gonna be digging into some real good scripture. Let me go ahead and just kind of introduce myself. May I put something on here? I don't want to. Okay, thank you. Let me go ahead and just introduce myself and I want to pray first. So, Father God, thank you. Father, thank you that you are good and you are real. Thank you for just being gracious to us. I pray, God, right, as the song was going on about make your presence known, that's what the whole entire message is about. And so, Father, please draw us closer to you. Make your presence known to us. And as you draw us closer to you and help us to just really focus on things that are just good and right, and helps us to love you more, it helps us to love other people more. Pray, Father God, if there's anyone here, if there's anyone that's watching that has not put their trust in the Lord, in Yeshua, in Jesus, the Messiah, as their Savior, I pray, Father, you would draw them, open up their hearts and their eyes in that way. And that you would have mercy on other people, please, Lord God, in the way that you've had mercy graciously towards us. I know this is easy to say, but really, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, may they be pleasing to you. I thank you, God, that you say that you sent the Holy Spirit, right, to be our comforter, to be our teacher, and to lead us in whole truth. So go ahead and teach and lead us, each individually, in the way that would help us to become just more drawn or intimate, God, that we would just become that much more amazed or grateful or appreciative of who you are. Oh, gosh. That's all right. Appreciative of who you are and of the miracle of forgiveness of sin. And so, Father God, thank you that it is your desire like was read earlier in Hebrews chapter 4, that we would draw right to you, that we would come boldly to the throne of grace, that we would be able to do that right with confidence, different versions, because it is there that we are able to find help, right? And grace, we're able to find this in times of need. And so have mercy on us and draw us in that way. Amen. Amen. All right, let me pick this stuff up. Yeah, I would love that. That'd be great. Thanks. Is that heavy? Is it, do you want me to come and? Oh, all right. Oh, okay. Yes, that's great. Thank you. Actually, I really would like this better. So my name is Ari Halvin, and I'm a Messianic Jew. I'm a born-again Jewish believer. I was saved April 6, 1997. It's amazing. It's going to be 25 years. And just to give you a little bit of background, so I grew up, I'm in Pennsylvania. I grew up in Bucks County in a town called Yardley, which is about 40 minutes or so, let's say, north of Philadelphia. I actually personally live right now actually outside Philly. I live in Drexel Hill. I'm in Delaware County, so just kind of like in this area. But I grew up in what we would want to consider to be what's called a Reform Jewish family. And if you think about different kind of Jewish denominations, it's on the liberal versus conservative side. So I grew up really more kind of liberal Jewish and had a real, and have a real gratefulness for just Jewish heritage and identity and what this means culturally and traditionally. But really, I didn't know whether I really believed that God was true or not. And I know this is going to sound a little weird, but the rabbi, the congregation that I grew up in, a wonderful, sweet rabbi, a sweet man, but he didn't believe that the scriptures, let's say even the Hebrew scriptures, were really the inspired 100%, you know, word of God, if you want to kind of think of it that way. Think of it more of like how, you know, some more liberal churches might, and when I say liberal, I'm talking about just, you know, approach to belief in the scriptures really as what they are. And so how did I grow up with a sense of still reverence for the scriptures? And how was this even promoted by our rabbi? Well, it's because if we look at this, right, the Hebrew scriptures, there's morals and values and ethics and, you know, principles that have stood the test of time. You know, societies have been built on these. They've lasted over the, you know, the centuries. And so there was really this sense of almost kind of giving credit to our relatives from a long time ago, right? Kind of like the wisdom of the ancestors, of the sages who, in their attempt to try to make meaning of life, were, you know, kind of came up with these things that had such value. And so there was a sense of reverence, but it was not about giving God credit solely, that he was really the source behind all of this. So I just want to kind of give you a little, you know, idea. But it didn't stop me from also having a connection to what it meant in terms of my Jewish heritage. Now, part of my Jewish heritage, even though it's not kind of the message that we're going to have today, but just so you know, part of what it gets passed down in a sense of being Jewish is that we see ourselves as survivors. And not just survivors of like Pharaoh and Egypt, but unfortunately as survivors of Christian persecution. And so what happens with us as Jewish people is when it comes to considering the truth claims of Jesus, what we'll do many times is not really make a decision as to yes, whether we believe that's for us or not, based off of what he said or based off of what scripture said, but we'll put a line in the sand based on history and look at persecution history that happened to our people and at times from different kind of, let's say, mixed interaction of Jewish of Christian communities with Jewish communities, and we'll keep the Jesus thing over there, and we'll stay over here. And already decide he's not for us based off of, well, if the followers of this way and this person ended up, you know, having this kind of persecution against us, then obviously it must not really be for us. And I'm so thankful for the different believers, the different Christians, the folks that were just not giving up on me and wanting to try to share with me. A friend of mine who got saved about 5 months before me, he gave me a book called More Than a Carpenter. It is such a great book. It's basically taking this principle that C.S. Lewis kind of made to just try to present who Yeshua is, you know, who Jesus is. And you'll hear me say Yeshua. Yeshua is just the same way to say Jesus. It basically is saying he either really is who he says he is. He's the Lord, or he's a liar or a lunatic. Now, if we look at John 14, if we look at what he did at the Last Supper, at the Last Seder, he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father except by me. That is either true or it's so outlandish of a statement. Right? It's mashugana, right? Or it's lunacy. And so, thankfully, I read this book. Now, I didn't come to faith from reading the book. I didn't believe that he necessarily was God. And beforehand, if you were to ask me, who do I think Jesus is, I probably would have said, okay, maybe he's some good guy and maybe had some good teaching. None of the God identity would I have believed in. But unfortunately, people after him kind of took it in some anti-Semitic directions. That's probably how I would have defined him, the box I would have put him in. But if you looked at the things he said, he either really is the Lord or he's a nut. And that book was massive in my testimony. Because what it did is it made me now realize the box that I had him in, it would be intellectually dishonest of me to keep him in that box. And so I now, for the first time, really kind of started to engage in what's this other thing? Because honestly, the Jesus question, it just wasn't something that was even in my circle of things that I really cared to have a decision on. Well, really, I pre-made the decision that it just wasn't for us. So now, actually going through that and the people that just shared with me and invited me to Bible studies and listened to all my rejection of them, but still kept on caring about me, I then started to realize, you know what, this is either true or it's bunk. And if it's true, and if he really is the Messiah, then he's the Jewish Messiah. Right? Then he's the fulfillment of the Jewish prophecies in the Jewish scriptures written by the Jewish prophets, right? Then I understood this is either really the fulfillment of Judaism, right? Of where God's putting this, his plan. Or it's just not true for anyone. And then I actually, and I don't want to say stepped across, but I now started to engage in who is this man. But I was afraid to read the New Testament because I thought the New Testament was going to say something like, let's go to Canaan to get the Jews. And by the way, I may or may not end up showing the video. So we'll see, right? Just something that. And I know that seems like a weird thing. Let's go to Canaan to get the Jews. It's only because I looked at history and I figured there must be something in there that's now contrary towards Jewish people in the New Testament. And after I read that book, I turned to my roommates and I asked if any of them had a Bible. There were four of us from college living together. One of them gave me their Bible, and I started to read in Genesis, which would seem like a good place to start, but I have to, I remember reading, I probably read through like chapter 8, and the story of Noah starts in chapter 6, and I remember thinking, I have read a ton, because I hadn't really, but in my heart, I know that I started there, because it was the part of the book that was furthest away from that other part that might be anti-Semitic. That's unfortunately just kind of where I was at. And so I got saved the very first day that I ended up reading the scriptures, the New Testament itself. I read the book of Luke. And I got saved reading the book of Luke on April 6, 1997. And it starts off, Luke, with this Jewish story, which was just stunning to me. It starts off with a priest in the temple, this Jewish priest who has like this special position, revered position. And then this priest has a son. The angel tells him he's going to have a son. And the son is ends up being John the Baptist. Now, I got to tell you, to a Jewish ear, the phrase John the Baptist couldn't have been less Jewish in my mind and couldn't have been more Christianese, but he's the son of a Jewish priest with special roles and responsibilities in the temple. And then it goes on, Luke chapter 2, you get the birth story, but in there it also talks in Luke chapter 2 about how he was circumcised on the eighth day. And then his parents did something. They when they ended up going up to the temple, they did sacrifices. It says in Luke chapter 2, according to the law of Moses, this had to do with the time of Miriam's purification, basically, after having her child. And then they go up into the temple, and then there in the temple, you have a woman and a gentleman who, from the Holy Spirit, actually hear about this child. There's prophesying over the child, the blessing he's going to be to the nations and to Israel. Then later on in chapter 2, it actually says that as was their custom, the family, they went up to Jerusalem every year to celebrate the Passover. And this is a Jewish story. And then at the end of chapter 3, you get one of the genealogies. You have one in Matthew, one in Luke. And at this point, I finally put my guard down. Because I was still reading with a mini shield or something. And then I finally God opened up my heart and read the rest of the book of Luke just with an open heart cry. And I remember at one point, I'm like, oh, what's that John 3:16 that and I read it like 15 times in a row. I don't know, thinking like if I keep reading it, maybe this thing will happen, you know. But what did I really even know? And that night, I'm in the home of Michael and Sarah Dowling in Charlottesville, Virginia, and in their living room, and just crying out to the Lord for salvation. And there were four of us there. And after time of prayer and crying and all, we get up. And at one point, I then ask if we can just kneel back down because there was something that I had to say. Now, this is not me trying to be spiritual. This was me, conviction of the Holy Spirit, right? This was, there's something I have to confess, really. And so we kneel down, and my very first prayer, I guess you could say post-salvation prayer, was one sentence, and it was, God, I am sorry because I have hated your name. April 6, 1997. You know, it's I remember the first church I went to week afterwards. I was a little nervous going into the church. I didn't know what to do. You know, I hadn't gone to church services. I also didn't know what the church was going to expect. I didn't know if they were going to say when I told them that I'm born again and that I'm also Jewish, if they were going to say, oh, thank God you're not Jewish anymore. You know, I really didn't know. What they did say is they said, oh, this is amazing. Oh, you're going to understand the Old Testament so much more. Not knowing that inside I'm going, I don't know the scriptures. I don't really. But they said this to me. They said, don't believe anything you hear unless you check it with the Word of God. And don't even believe what's being taught here at this church unless you take what's being taught here and check it with what the Word of God says. That was service 101 right there. And then I just jumped in because I also knew this is the truth and I could be able to check people, right? But I really had no idea. And all I wanted to do was just read the Bible and watch the worship channel at night, nature scenes and scriptures that pop up. And I read the New Testament, I guess with just Jewish eyes. I just couldn't believe how how Jewish this was. And so I love looking at the Jewishness of the gospel, in a sense, from the Old Testament. I love looking at what people might consider to just be Christianese doctrine and seeing it all throughout the Hebrew scriptures of the Old Testament. Right? That this is, like you said, this is one, you know, book. And I currently serve with Chosen People Ministries. Now, Chosen People Ministries, we're a 128-year-old missions organization. 19 different countries, and I serve in the greater Philadelphia area, which actually really means like Harrisburg over to here. And so to be able to just pray for, to serve, to evangelize, disciple Jewish people, and to teach others to do the same. Because one of the best ways of being able to reach my people is actually help teaching and training Christians on how to be more effective or just more appropriate and how to share their faith with Jewish people in a way that can touch and reach a Jewish person's heart. And even in ways that I can't. There's a real special ability to come against certain objections, certain beliefs about Christians and Christian history that if I talk to my Jewish people about, it can sound academic, but if someone from that group, it's like race relations, when someone from the other, you know, makes some kind of a reconciliation comment, it comes with a certain oomph. And so this is just kind of the heart of what we do. But what I want to actually have us focus on here is something that you guys sang about, which is really amazing. Make your presence known. That was part of the song. By the way, the prayer, the Shema, that is the most holy blessing, verse, liturgy in Judaism. I sang it over each of my three kids as the first thing I did to them after they were born. And it's just amazing that, you know, Yeshua, the Son of God, right, he is, you know, he's not just the Son of God, he's God the Son, right? So he is the Lord. Okay, so let's talk about presence. Now, I got to say something that's pretty amazing. I was originally going to come here on a different weekend, and we already had planned a topic to share, which is literally about the most quoted Bible verse that's also quoted elsewhere in the Bible. Right, and that's what we're going to look at today. There's a section of the Bible that is quoted the most elsewhere. And then for different reasons, we had to end up switching. I think it was for COVID reasons. Was that one? I can't even remember what it was. But I want you to know, the Jewish people around the world are going through different kinds of reading cycles of going through the scriptures, going through the Torah. And so it's kind of like the first five books of Moses. There'll be a section of a handful of chapters that each week will be reviewed and read, and you kind of go through this on this one-year cycle. It so happens that Exodus 34, which we are reading today, is this week's portion that is actually happening, that Jewish people are reading around. So I want you guys to go ahead and to please turn to Exodus 34. Exodus 34. Now, this is just pretty stunning because what we're going to do is we're going to look at God's own self-declaration of his presence. It's his own definition, his own revelation, revealing basically to Moses and to us his actual goodness, his glory, his presence. And so, you know, I personally love Ephesians 2:8-9. It's actually my favorite verse, right? That we're saved by grace through faith. It's not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, right? So that no man may boast. Now, I say this verse to myself over and over again, not just because it's a great truth in general, but I actually really use it like medicine to help put things back into perspective for me, right? Not by works. And it helps me to then keep my eyes fixed on him, the author and perfecter of our faith. That's the goal. And so I use that. I actually also use Psalm 103, which, interesting enough, is a psalm of David doing the very same thing back to his own soul. Actually, you don't have to go there, but I'm going to go there. Psalm 103 is King David needing to replace his own stinking thinking with the truth of God. And he's kind of looking, and he speaks to his own soul. He says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul." Right? He's speaking to his own soul. And then he says here, "And forget not all his benefits." Forget not all his benefits. Right? So remember. Oh my gosh. I could probably stand up here and we could read for a week all of the scriptures. Remember, 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 remember. I mean, God, this is what God's encouraging us. And David then starts to remind his own soul of all these great benefits of the Lord. Verse 10, for example, is, "He does not treat us as our sins deserve." Right, let's spend a year on that one. "He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. He redeems our life from the pit." In one area. But he's taking truths that he knows about God, and he's reminding himself of that. And so the very revelation we're going to read here in Exodus 34 becomes the number one referenced and quoted thing that we at least have in Scripture of what people actually did to remind themselves of the presence and character of God. Let's just do this. Actually, if you don't mind, we're going to start a little bit earlier in 33. Let's give a little context. So, general context is the Jewish people are at Mount Sinai. They're getting there. They're in the presence with the Lord. Moses is getting the commandments up on Mount Sinai. A couple chapters right before this is where you get the people below are doing the sin of the golden calf. The sin of idolatry, the sin of sins in a number of ways. And so Moses, at a certain point, starts to intercede for the people to God. He had this heart for the people. You know, there's even a part right here, I think it's in Exodus 32 or 33, Moses actually asks God that if Moses could actually be blotted out of the book of life, if it meant that God would then be gracious to the people of Israel. There's only one other person that we see in Scripture that actually had a prayer of that heart, and that was actually Paul. In the book of Romans, who actually talked about he wished that he could even be accursed, that he would even be able to lose his salvation. This is Romans 9. For the sake of his people, Israel, that they would be able to be saved as countrymen. And so there's this great sin that's happening with our people at the time when God is actually making covenant with our people. And so later on in Exodus, there's a story about what the tabernacle and what holy things would look like before they go on the journey. But here we are right at this part where there's sin and Moses is interceding and he's wanting to try to find out whether God will go ahead and stay with the people. And so let's go to verse 12, chapter 33. Moses said to the Lord, "You've been telling me, lead these people, but you've not let me know whom you will send with me. You said, I will know you by name, and you found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so that I may know you and continue to find favor." Right? He wanted favor for himself. But then remember that this nation is your people. Right? Please not just have favor with me, but with the people. And the Lord replied, "My presence will go with you." Thank God he is a forgiving God. Thank God he is a faithful, he's a promise-keeping God. Thank God that he is actually one who is going to be faithful and promise-keeping in spite of us, because he does things for his own namesake. and for his character and his nature of being faithful. It says, then Moses said to him, if your presence doesn't go with us, right, then don't send us up from here. And how will anyone know that you're pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us, right? This whole needing the presence of God. What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked. Because I am pleased with you, and I know you by name. And Moses says, show me your glory, right? Your presence, your glory, this heart. And then God answers, I will cause all of my goodness to pass in front of you. And I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. So here Moses is crying out. He wants God's presence. He wants to see God's glory. God answers that he's going to actually reveal the all of God's goodness. So wouldn't it be great to actually kind of find out how does God define, how does God reveal what his character is, what his presence is, what his glory is, what his presence is. Now he does say here, I'll have mercy on whom I have mercy. I'll have compassion on whom I have compassion. I'm going to skip a little forward here. Let's go down to verse 5, chapter 34, verse 5. Oh, good stuff. Then the Lord came down in the cloud. He had Moses come back up onto Mount Sinai. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and he stood there with him and he proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses proclaiming, and this is God's revelation of his presence. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of their fathers, the third and fourth generation. That is his definition of himself. Now, I just want to go a little bit further. We'll come back to it. Moses bowed down to the ground at once and worshiped. He said, oh, Lord, if I found favor in your eyes, which he has, then let the Lord go with us. Although this is a stiff-necked people, right? Forgive our wickedness and our sin, right? Take us as your inheritance. So isn't it amazing? Even after getting the actual revelation that God forgives, Moses then actually prays that God would be this, God would forgive. They basically be who he says he is to the people here. So let's look at some of the stuff that's right here that we see. Okay. One, we see Moses interceding for the people, which is just an amazing thing. I wish I was more of an intercessor. I'm more of an open up my mouth and declare God's praise and people need to shut me up kind of thing. But thank God for people that are just prayer intercessors. You know, shortly after I was saved, I found out that there was a messianic congregation, messianic Jewish kind of fellowship in the town I grew up in. Didn't find that out until after I was saved. I called up and I spoke. I was trying to get in touch with the folks that were leading it, this man and this woman. I was speaking with the wife, sweet, sweet, sweet. And we talked for about an hour. At the very end, I give her my name. She had my name, Ari, but I give her my last name. We're giving contact information. She starts freaking out over the phone. She says, is your mom Carol Lee Halbin? I said, yeah. She told me that she's been praying for a decade for my mom on a consistent basis. Now, from her perspective, she believes that I'm actually the fruit of her prayer. Right? Just faithful intercessors. It's just awesome. Okay, so let's look at a couple different things here. Let's go and look at verse 6. The Lord, compassionate and gracious. This word compassionate And gracious, these words have to do with words called rechem and chen. It's this sense of grace that all over through the scriptures, right? This is the cry. Actually, there was even a song earlier where you were talking about, you know, God being gracious. I mean, we know this in general. But, you know, there's a Psalm 136. Psalm 136. Just says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. And it has his love endures forever after every single one. Actually, the word love there is actually really the word chen for grace. It's his grace. Right, that we are saved by grace, right? It's this gift, right? This gift of favor that God gives us. I know I mentioned, you know, Ephesians 2:8 and 9 as my favorite verse, because grace is just so critical. There's actually 40 different times in the Psalms where this aspect of grace is appealed to, knowing that this is God's character. But we know that what we receive, the gift of grace, is actually Yeshua himself as the gift given on our behalf. It's amazing. So, let me go to another one here. If we look right here, compassionate grace, slow to anger. Oh, that's awesome. Abounding in love and faithfulness. This is Chesed ve'emet. It's loving kindness and truth. And so here we are, this word emet. It's this word that means faithfulness or trustworthiness. That we know we can stand. You know, a lot of times when we think about the word faith, a lot of times we're thinking about, oh man, I have to really build my faith. And we almost mistakenly turn it into, well, I'm being faithful because of how faithful I feel. We're almost kind of putting it on faith, somehow being defined on how much I am feeling faithful. When really the definition of faith, which is the definition of Abraham, the father of faith, is that he believed God and that God is faithful. Right? Definition of faith is just believing that God is actually going to be faithful. Not about us, right? To be able to trust in that. Let's look at a couple other little nuggets in here. So we have here, maintaining love to thousands. But you see here where it says, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. The word here isn't really necessarily forgiving. It's carrying. But there are three different words here. A lot of times we see like the words sin and iniquity and we just kind of lump them together as all different ways of saying sin. But there's actually three different words even in the Hebrew. There's one called avon, there's one called pesha, and there's one called chet. And the word chet is this word sin, and people kind of think about it. It's when we miss the mark. And please know this, the Levitical sacrificial system, which is to take the punishment of sin, that system talks about specific sin categories that it covers. Like it covers this chet, but it does not cover all three of these. So this is very odd if we think about this. Well, wait a second. Because one of these is like a willful, rebellious sin. Right, purposeful, and there's different levels and categories. But I want you to know there is a part of the scriptures that does talk about a sacrifice that covers all three of these categories. And that is Isaiah chapter 53. The sacrificial servant. This is the grandfather of all the messianic prophecies. This is written about 800 years before Jesus comes on the scene, almost 800 years. And it talks about this suffering servant, right? That all we like sheep have gone astray. Everyone has turned to his own way, and the Lord laid on him this sacrifice, the sin of us all. This arm of the Lord that saves. And so it's interesting that it's the arm of the Lord that actually can cover and save all of these. But let's look at this down below after. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. God is just. He needs to be just. And so this can be very confusing for us. Because we see, wait a second, what about all this mercy? And then you're also saying that you're just. And so there could be tension. This is, it's okay to have tension. You know, he's actually revealing himself here in areas of his goodness that amazingly aren't about how great he is and how strong he is and how he's creator. The ways that many peoples or other nations or societies might want to try to define their God as to how powerful they are. Isn't it amazing that the way God reveals his presence, his glory, and all of his goodness are definitions of him as to how he and who he is as a redeemer for us. His definition and revelation is actually showing the character and nature of him of needing to redeem a rebellious people. That's the character and the goodness, all the goodness of God. That he would care about us. That he actually reveals his greatest sense or revelation of goodness as to his character of relating to us, a people that are sinful and need to be redeemed. It's just awesome. This is the definition of God's presence. And so I love this one guy, Ray Comfort, who's an evangelist, and he shares, and he likes to use this way of sharing, like in a courtroom. And the idea is, you know, someone, let's say I, unfortunately, I don't know, I went and I broke into all the cars and I stole all the cars in the parking lot. And I get caught and I have to go before a judge and I'm guilty and I have to pay $200,000 fine, and I either have to pay the fine because that's what the law is saying that is the penalty, or I go to jail if I don't have that. And so the judge, and we want to put, let's say the judge is a good judge. Like what's your name, sir?
Rick.
Okay, so let's say you're the judge, right? You're a good judge, a just, like you make right, true, good judgments, right? You're not going to like do nepotism and let people off. Right? And so I'm coming before you, and I might even want to plead mercy to the court. But the law has something against me. There's a consequence. And so being a good judge, you have to judge me guilty for that. Now, the analogy that people like to say, what's your name, sir? Ethan. Okay, so let's say Ethan comes in and he's got $200,000, right? And Ethan goes ahead and pays the fine on my behalf. Then technically, the law doesn't have anything against me anymore because the fine has been paid, right? And so a lot of times we'll look at Ethan in a sense as kind of the Jesus figure coming in and paying the fine on our behalf. And actually, I can be led free not because of anything I did, not because of any of my worthiness, but because of the sacrifice, the merit, the earning of the other. Now, I like what Ray Comfort likes to kind of take this analogy and put a little bit of a twist on it and says, you know, maybe theologically we can think about it that it's not like, you know, someone doesn't really kind of come in and pay that on my behalf. He said, what if it is the judge has to judge me guilty? And I know you might be thinking, wait, where's the Yeshua? Where's the Jesus part? Right here. And then what if the judge, after you judge me guilty, you care about me so much that you come out from behind the bench and then you say, now, bailiff, take me. And you actually go to jail and take the punishment on my behalf. The very punishment you righteously had to even give me. And that this is a way that God can be both just and merciful in his character at the same time. And that Yeshua, Jesus, the sacrifice is this gift of the substitute in our place. Right? Being forgiven isn't just kind of a, you know, like a snap. Forgiven is the substitutionary act. And so isn't it amazing that in God's own definition of himself that he wants to reveal to us, is he reveals he's just. And he won't let the guilty go unpunished. But all of us are guilty. And so isn't it just amazing? It's a miracle of forgiveness of sin that we can also have the opportunity to be able to have forgiveness of this very sin. Now, this nature of God right here, this presence, this revelation, I want to read to you where we see this in Scripture. I'm just going to do it fast so you don't have to write it down, but that's all right. Numbers chapter 14, verses 17 and 19. 2 Samuel chapter 2. I'll just say the chapters. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 5. 2 Kings 13. Isaiah 63, verse 7. Joel chapter 2, verse 13. Micah chapter 7, 18 and 19. Psalm 25, verse 6. Psalm 86, verses 5 to 6. All of these are quoting this part of God's self-revelation to help the people at the time. Psalm 103. Actually, this is King David. You know what he did? He spoke back to his own soul to remember the benefits. And one of them is, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness. There's three different ways we see in Scripture that this passage is used by the people. One is like this one with King David, where he's actually speaking it back to himself. Other ones we see where it's people speaking it back to God and wanting God to just, you know, saying, hey, remember, you said you are this characteristic, and speaking it back to him to be that characteristic to them. Other times, like we see in Nehemiah, they're speaking it to the people, teaching the people, reminding them to remember God's character. Let me keep going. Jeremiah chapter 32, Jonah chapter 4, Nahum chapter 1, Psalm 78, Psalm 86, Psalm 106, Psalm 108, Psalm 112, Lamentations 3. I'm doing this on purpose so that we just kind of get right. Psalm 145, 6 to 9. Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 30 to 32. This is when he's actually telling the people, now therefore your God, the great, the mighty, the awesome God, he keeps covenant and loyal love. And all this stuff. Psalm 111, Psalm 116, Daniel 9, Nehemiah chapter 9, earlier verses 17 and 19, 2 Chronicles chapter 30. But there's also some New Covenant references as well. And let's look at a couple of those real quickly. Okay. Let's go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. All right. And, you know, we all love, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word, was God. This is John 1:1, right? He's with God in the beginning. A lot of times people like to go down to verse 14, right? That the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Here we go. We have seen his glory. Now, this is about the glory of the Word, the Son here. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of chesed ve'emet, grace and truth. Now, I want us to understand something here. A question could be, well, let me just keep reading. We'll say, so John testifies concerning him, that he cries out saying, this was he whom I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. It says here, from the fullness of his grace, we've all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth. This chesed ve'emet, this aspect of God's character, right? Coming through Yeshua the Messiah. No one has ever seen God, but God the one and only. Now, this is amazing, because if we look back earlier when we were in verse 14, it says, we've seen his glory. Some people say, well, maybe what this is, the glory of the only one, right? You know, it's, you know, who came from the Father. And then it says you're full of grace and truth. So some people are thinking, well, wait a second, that full of grace and truth, that's talking about God the Father, right? Like God who also we could say, you know, was revealing himself. But it's the verses after that show this is specifically through Yeshua. God reveals this to us through the work of Yeshua. That this grace and truth came through Yeshua the Messiah. It's a miracle. Let's also go to Romans. If you can go to Romans chapter 9. And we are coming to a close here. Romans chapter 9. Paul makes reference to God's character. Actually, even to things that God said that we read earlier in Exodus 33. And so, verse 15, I'll have mercy on whom I have mercy. I'll have compassion on whom I have compassion. So even when Paul is trying to share with the people in Rome, a group of people he had never even been to yet, and he's trying to talk about the nature and character of God, he's making reference to this also aspect. If we look at verse 18, therefore God has mercy on whom he wants to have mercy, he hardens on whom he wants to harden. And so there's a number of different kinds of references. This is the most quoted piece of scripture elsewhere in scripture. If that's the case, then part of what God is showing us here by example is to see how people of old were encouraged in their faith, were encouraged to get back right with God or put their heart and their mind back on the character and nature of God. Whether they were doing it individually for themselves, whether they were crying out to God in times of heartache, whether they were trying to encourage other people. And it was about this aspect of God's revelation, which is so amazing that he defines himself as his nature of a redeemer for us, his creation. It's a miracle. Really, it really is a miracle. I want to go ahead and just encourage us in general. To do what the ancients did, if that's kind of the way to phrase it. I know that there's so many different aspects, there's so many things that people can be able to draw on. For example, I told you my favorite verse. But there's something to be said about seeing and using what we see. Those who were inspired by the Holy Spirit over and over and over again did to encourage them in their faith. And here's what I want to say. I think this is really what I want to say here. Right, we're living in wild times. We've, you know, one of the ways that God teaches in Scripture for people to have hope and to build trust in him is actually to remember. And with the children of Israel, it's to remember you were slaves in Egypt and to remember the Exodus, remember, remember. I mean, and that this builds up our trust, it builds up our hope. And in a sense, this is, you know, what we see them doing here, using this actual aspect. And so with whatever we're going through in life, with whatever is kind of happening around, but also with whatever kind of personal guilt or shame that we might individually be dealing with, we can come to the Lord because he is faithful, he's a promise keeper, and he is compassionate and gracious, full of loving kindness and truth. I'm going to end with Hebrews, with what you just, you know what, I'm going to do that because it's a good way to tie it in with what you were saying. I want to read something from Hebrews 10, and then I'm going to read the very verse that he said in Hebrews 4. You know, Hebrews 10, when it talks about those of us that are saved, Hebrews is basically showing and declaring that Jesus really is the fulfillment of that he really is the Messiah, that he's the great sacrifice, he's the great high priest, he brings the better covenant, all this kind of, and it says, since we then therefore have confidence to enter the most holy place, how? Only by the blood of Yeshua, right? By the blood of Yeshua, that sacrifice for us, this new and living way that was opened for us. Verse 22, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. God wants us to just come to him honestly, genuinely, with a sincere heart, with what we're going through. Because we've had our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience. Having our bodies washed with pure water. And so with that, back to Hebrews chapter 4. Because we have this high priest, because he is it. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Yeshua, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin. So this is the key. So then let us approach the throne of grace, the very character of God's revelation of the all of his glory and presence and goodness. And we can do that, not because of us, but we can do it with confidence because of what he's done for us. And it says, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Let me pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you are good. Thank you that you're compassionate and merciful and loving, kind. And thank you who forgive all this kind of sin. Thank you that you're just. And that even in the midst of your justice, that you have sent us the gift of your son to take the position of taking that justice punishment on our behalf so that we would then get the exchange of the miracle of forgiveness of sin. It's a miracle. And God, please remind us of these great truths. Help us to, when we're hurting, when we're stuck, when we're happy, whatever it is, to look at this and follow what we see the ancients did over and over. Was to make this part your own revelation to us. Be the anchor of our faith. So that we can then rest in you, turn to you. And please, Father, have mercy on other people. And I pray for that in Yeshua's name. Amen. Now, I know I went much later. But I hope you don't mind. I wanted to share some of the testimony parts at the beginning. I want to share about some of the free items that I have. I know we're going to be, you know, taking a break. We're going to go to Q&A. There's going to be some food and other different stuff afterwards. But let me just share with you about some of the free stuff I have for you. So in the back at the table, there's a number of different, there's some tracks. This is How Would You Know the Messiah? My business card is back there. Has my address, my phone number, my email. I love when people just contact me and ask me questions. For whatever it might be. I mean, I'm here just to be a resource for you. On the back table, you'll see these I Found Shalom cards. What is this, I Found Shalom? We have a website that has over 100 different salvation testimony videos, all of Jewish people and their salvation stories. And so I'm thankful to be one of them. And so I just want to encourage you, it is excellent just to hear people's story. The videos really are between 5 to 10 minutes. Mine is even less than 5 minutes. So they're easy to be able to just see, and it's a great way to be encouraged in your own faith or to share with others. There's some other different kind of, you know, materials. There's a number of, there's some books back there. Some of them have some different prices. I could be able to help you with that. I care more that you would find something that might be a blessing for you. This right here, actually, there's a handful of these. This is free for you. This is Isaiah 53 explained. This is basically going through the, you know, like I said, the grandfather of all the messianic prophecies, the most clear prophecy of Yeshua and his role as the Lamb of God role, you know, on our behalf. And this is a book that can be able to kind of go into that, a great book for you or to give to others as well. So a number of different, and then can everybody just pick up or hold up the brochure that was handed out? There's a brochure. And so this right here, this is really important to keep just to kind of do before you head out. But simply put, if everyone would pick this up and open it up, you'll see a picture of me and my family and a little bit of our testimony. Now, I serve here to be a resource for you, to just be of service in whatever way that might be. But, you know, there's just partnership in this. And I got to tell you, I get to send out a prayer newsletter once a month, and people pray. I just got a message from a church that wanted some updates on someone that I'm, you know, that I had written about in a prayer newsletter. I'm so thankful, right, for people that actually want to have a heart and just be a part of the gospel work of wanting to share the good news with, you know, our unsaved Jewish people. And so if you open it up further, you'll see this tan section right here that has some information about Chosen People Ministries, our beginnings. And then there's one perforated white section. We're going to just tear this off together. So here, I'm just going to go like this. And so on the count of three, we'll just tear this off, this one part. So one, two, three, or a chad, shtaim, shlosh, right? So this part of the brochure, this is for you to keep. This right here, this is for you to just go ahead and fill out if you would like to be connected. And so it could be name and email, address, whatever contact information is most appropriate for you. Once a month, we send out a prayer newsletter. I said that. And then also we send out some other free materials from the ministry. And this is a way for us to be able to be, you know, connected. My next newsletter that I'm going to be writing is actually about a summer campaign in New York that Chosen People Ministries graciously asked me and another person to help lead and do, you know, short-term missions trips. Thankfully, we're able to do that after COVID, right? Let's let's get back out there. There's also areas on the back here if you're interested in information about the ministry or trips to Israel in the future or free materials that we can even send unsaved Jewish people, friends of yours. There's lots of different things that are on this one little slip of paper that you can say, oh, I'm interested in that. There's also a part here where it talks about financial support, right? I'm a support raised, you know, missionary to our Jewish people. If the Lord puts it on your heart here or in the future to want to be a part of this, you know, work, my wife and I would be honored to then just be doing this with you. But you want to go and just do where the Lord has you to be able to be a part of. I firmly believe that. Please know this, though, and this is why I want to clarify. Whether it's now or in the future, if God puts it on your heart to want to, you know, be in this work together, any donation never gets made out to me. It's always to the ministry, always to the nonprofit ministry. So if someone was, you know, writing a check or so forth, you could put my name maybe in the memo. But we are a part of the founding members of EFCA, Evangelical Council of Financial Accountability. We take, you know, these matters very honorably and seriously. So please know, it's always to the nonprofit ministry if there's anything, right? There's a little logistics. Okay, thank you, Pastor. Amen.
That was good, right?
Oh, and then you can explain about Q&A, or do you want me to share a little? Okay.
That was good to hear. Good to hear your testimony, Ari, and how God has been working from way back when to now. You mentioned more than a carpenter, and that triggered my mind. I was sharing Jesus with a friend back years ago, and more than a carpenter was chapter 4. Who is Jesus, liar, lunatic, or Lord? And that's what kind of pushed him over the edge, and he's a follower of Jesus now. But it's good to hear. Good to hear what God is doing, right, among the Jewish people. And so we're going to sing this song. It's he's been talking about when God makes his presence known. What happens when God makes his presence known? When God reveals himself to those who want to know, dry bones come alive. Dead hearts find life. So we're going to sing that song together. And just make this a prayer. Make it a prayer for the Jewish people. Make it a prayer for your friends who are still dead and far from God. So you can stay in your seat if you like, or you can stand. It's totally up to you. But let's sing this together as a prayer. Of men, it seems there's so much we have lost. As we look down the road where all the prodigals have walked, and one by one the enemy has whispered lies and led them off as slaves. But we know that you are God, yours is the victory. And we know there is more to come that we may not yet see. So with the faith you've given us, we step into the valley unafraid. Yeah. We call out to dry bones, come alive, come alive. We call out to dead hearts, come alive, come alive. Up out of the ashes, let us see an army rise. We call out to dry bones, come alive. Who is this God? God of endless mercy, God of unrelenting love. Rescue every daughter, bring us back the wayward sons. And by your Spirit, breathe upon them, show the world that you alone can save. You alone can save. We call out to dry bones, come alive, come alive. We call out to dead hearts, come alive, come alive. Up out of the ashes, let us see an army rise. We call out to dry bones, come alive. We call out to dry bones, come alive, come alive. We call out to dead hearts, come alive, come alive. Up out of the ashes, let us see an army rise. We call out to dead bones, come alive. So breathe, O breath of God, now breathe, O breath of God, breathe, O breath of God, now breathe. So breathe, O breath of God, now breathe, O breath of God, breathe, O breath of God, now breathe. So breathe, O breath of God, now breathe, O breath of God, breathe, O breath of God, now breathe. We call out to dry bones, come alive, come alive. We call out to dead hearts, come alive, come alive. Up out of the ashes, let us see an army rise. We call out to dry bones, come alive. We call out to dry bones, I'm alive. We call out to Jabez. Come alive. Amen. God, that is our cry. That's our heart, and it's your heart. So we cry together with you as you cry out that dry bones would come alive. From the Jewish people, the Jewish Messiah has come. His name is Jesus. Thank you, God, that the New Testament, the New Covenant is a Jewish scripture that is just so full, and it ties together perfectly with the old. The old and the new. The new has come, and Jesus is here. He is our Messiah. Jew, Gentile, doesn't matter. You are our Messiah. And we bow before you. We cry out to you to save more. Save more people, God. Your kingdom come. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, you can have a seat. Shannon, come on up. Did you want to MC the questions? Or? Okay, all right.
Good morning. Just two quick things. What? Yeah, you can while, yeah. Oh, this is going down. Okay, the baby bottle boomerang is still happening, so that stuff is back on the offering table. If you're interested in that, pick one up. They collect donations via the baby bottle. It's a good thing to put out on your counter, put your spare change in over the next couple weeks, bring that back here, and that all goes right to Life's Choices. And if I'm sure some of you are smelling the goodness coming from downstairs, sorry, live stream, as you are not experiencing that smell. But after we're done with the Q&A, we'll head downstairs for a brunch. So I hope you all can stick around from that. And that is all for the formal announcements. Oh, there's brunch today. So we'll.